it's disappointing. Clearly, I've mentioned that some of our more senior players are out at the moment, and he fits into the next mould of player that we need. He was frustrated, clearly frustrated on the game. You only had to watch the coverage to understand that he was frustrated there. But it's disappointing for us that he's not going to be out there this weekend. And for Dustin, it's obviously a learning curve on how to... He gets tagged most weeks, I would have thought. But it's got to the point where I think he probably got tagged against Carlton, Collingwood, and now the Giants. And pretty well held and tagged tightly. So what will happen is, and what people will think from the outside is, oh, well, Dusty has to learn how to deal with this. We probably have to learn as a group how to deal with it more than Dusty individually. He's not playing an individual sport out there. He's playing a team sport. So the onus probably goes on to the rest of the players to help him.
Jack Revolt on AFL 360 last night. Dustin Martin's suspension reduced by a week, but he'll sit out the Port Adelaide game. Legend of the game, Malcolm Blight, on a Wednesday morning. Blighty, welcome.
Hi, Jared. How are you?
Very well. How would you guide Dustin Martin through a period that he's clearly finding frustrating?
Well, I think he's a very lucky boy. Elbows have no part in our game whatsoever, and I think that the tribunal got it wrong. He should have kept the 2 weeks. However, that decision's now been made. Well, he needs to go and talk to some people. And because if the Richmond Football Club can't help him getting tagged, that means that they haven't had to address this before. And what is he, 26, 27 years of age? It's actually an indictment on the competition that he hasn't been tagged very much before. He's a pretty good player, you know. Go and ask Gary Ablett and Chris Judd how they handle it. And there are some secrets and there are some tricks to doing it. It is difficult. There's no question of it. But you can get around it, and it's got a bit about to do with your head. Nothing to do with your body.
What did you make of Damien Hardwick's public approach to it, which was to call out what he thought to be an untoward tactic?
I enjoyed Damien in his commentary normally. I thought that was pretty average. I thought that was a cry for help. What he should have been doing was ask some people internally, what should they do? The umpires, and I saw the footage you used last night, and I watched the game, I didn't think there was too much untoward. He just took his running lines a few times. They run each other. In fact, Dusty threw another elbow back at one stage and probably should have got a week for that. So if that's what you're going to start doing, that means they've got you. So he's got to learn another approach. You almost got to ignore them to the point of run away from the ball. And there's a few tricks to doing it, but the whole coaching group down at Richmond should be working it out right now.
So for Martin, is they front up without the big four for the first time in forever, it seems, for Port Adelaide. So has he let the team down by indulging those emotions?
Well, you do, but I mean, you know, it's a split-second decision. I think that's a one-on-one with the player, and you sit down and you go through it all, and you know, you try, obviously, within internally, you try and help him. But, I mean, every player at some stage makes split-second decisions that they regret to some degree. So that was one he did. And I mean, he shouldn't have done it. We know all that, but I don't think he'll do it again. But you've got to walk him down the track to fix it all.
It's a couple of teams who aren't all that they hope to be. One of those is Adelaide. So you've had a chance to study them close up. What's your diagnosis of Adelaide at the moment?
Very simply, Brad Crouch is their leading goal kicker with 4 goals in 3 games. He's a midfielder, spends most of his time in the midfield. So that means, let's just say, the effectively 6 forward line players that have virtually played every game can't get to 4 goals. Hence lies a problem. Is it the connection between mids and backs and then mids and forwards? Of course it is. It's all of the above. But the forward line is sadly out of form. All of them are out of form. It's been amazing. And if you look back at last year, it was a bit like that too. Eddie Betts is not the player he was for some reason. Tex Walker hasn't recovered from the 2017 grand final that was seen. Josh Jenkins runs out the back and tries to get those easy over the top when they're flying. So there's lots of... Charlie Cameron's gone. So there's lots of issues in their forward line, and they're going to have to wake up pretty quickly, otherwise the season will be gone.
Are they one-dimensional up front?
Oh, no, not necessarily. I think it's the guy with the ball. I mean, this always takes two to tango. I think some of the decision-making with the footy has been a bit average, but also the teams have worked them out. Don't let them get behind. It's almost like it's a rebirth of Pagan's Paddock. You know, during that time, you've got to play them from behind when it's a 50-50. In general play, you've still got to read the game. So when it's a 50-50, playing from behind, and they just haven't got another trick up their sleeve.
And Melbourne is the other team who, well, they're all over the place. When you're 0-3, when you had such lofty expectations coming off a preliminary final, how pointed does it get and how quickly? Where are they heading to Sydney right now with their season on the line?
99 times out of 100, I'd say that's true. I'm actually tipping the Swans. Like, I'd love to see their midfield. They're just done. Viney and Jones, from what I've read over summer, didn't do very much at all. They've had a lot of injuries. They've had a lot of medical operations, etc. I reckon they're a little bit underdone. But Norton 4 is not impossible, Jared. Now, I've got to be careful how I say this because it's a long time ago. But there was a team called North Melbourne that started Norton 4 after playing in the grand final the year before and ended up winning the premiership in 1975. So it's a long time ago, but I can tell you what happened then, and I'd be doing it now. There would be an intimate meeting between the president, the coach, and the playing group. And you'd have a good look in the mirror at everything. You wouldn't let anyone else in.
Can you remember that meeting?
Oh, can I ever?
How stark is that meeting? How uncomfortable is it?
And for the people that would understand this, let's just put the personalities of the day in it, and, you know, you can put their names in it. But the personalities within that room, let's just say it was a guy called Alan Aylett, you know, the father of a lot of modern football, really. Mm-hmm. The great Ron Brassey as coach and the players of the North Melbourne Football Club. Full stop, end of story. Alan Aylett addressed the meeting. Made Brassey stand up the front. I couldn't believe this. And I took this is still with me. I can still read it.
Yep.
I can understand how you run a footy club. He stood up there and said, Alan Aylett, we're Norton 4, right? This bloke, his name's Ron Brassey. He is going to be coach here for the next 5-10 years. If you don't like it, pee off, right out the door right now. I'll write the check. Get so whatever he says goes. Got anyone else got anything else to say? Mate, and it was just electric. You know, and it was just one of the great things. You talk about leadership and you know, perhaps a board or a president. They can only do a few things, boards and presidents, and that was one of them. So to actually say that, and I mean, you could have walked out, and Alan Aylett would have done it. And I remember that, and I did it with the president some time later, another club. But I mean, that's how simple. Either put up or shut up. If you don't like it, get out. So I think someone's got to put a stake in the ground. When you get to that stage in a footy season, you may as well go down with a swing, I reckon.
Rather
than a whimper. And if it gets out and you're too tough on them, bad luck. That means they're not the blokes that want to be there. Find out about them. You may as well have a bad season and rejig, get rid of them, and get some new players in.
When you say you did that later on with the president, were you the coach in a meeting that had a similar tone?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
In Adelaide.
Which president?
I was at the SNFL.
Okay. Did it?
Yep.
Did it have the same effect?
I believe it did. I mean, I wouldn't have used exactly the same words as what Brassey did or what Aylett did, but the whole premise of this was either shape up or ship out, and you can go right now.
Yep. Yep. So for Melbourne, they've had they circled up. Bob Murphy says nothing good ever comes from when you circle up. The truths have been told. So do you have to get a response when you choose that moment to, as you say, put a stake in the ground? Do you have to get a response straight away?
Yeah, you do. You sort of know. You know, you can analyse this week's game and you'll see the ferocity. Now, sometimes the scoreboard might be a win, but you'll actually see something that ticks the team over, that ticks five or six blokes that aren't performing, that aren't actually really putting their nose to the grindstone. You can see it. And you can see it, and you can show them on the tape and the replay. This is, you're not with us. And someone, Jared, she's a tough game. Everyone says you've got to be really nice to her. And you do. You want blokes, and you want their respect, and you want them to be respected. But at some stage or other, these are grown men getting paid a lot of money to perform at a level. Now, if that level's not met, something's got to happen. You can pat them on the back, you can pat them on the back, you can pat them on the back, and you forgive them, and you do it all the time. Coaching's about forgiving.
Yep.
Because it's a tough game. You know, it's not a perfect game. But just occasionally, one in 10, one in 20, you've got to get hit between the eyes. I don't care who you are. Everyone's got a man up at some stage. It is professional. It is your job. It is your livelihood. And it is what the people and the members and the fans expect.
Oh, Malcolm, I love it when you talk the cold, hard truth. Brilliant, brilliant stories of yesteryear and as they apply to today. Hey, enjoy your weekend of footy, Malcolm.
Good on you, Jared. Thanks, mate. Bye.
Legend of the game, Malcolm Blight with me on a Wednesday morning. Now, we're working your calls. Bruce McAvaney is going to join me straight out of the news as well as we set up Winks on Saturday.